Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today my guest is fiction horror author Kenya Moss Dime, who has written 5 full-length novels, 2 short reads. She's got 3 free digital reads on her website, kenyamossdime.com, and some new work is on the way that we'll talk about a little bit later. So stay tuned for our conversation right after this quick break.
You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network radio show hosted by Motown Writers Network. Thank you for joining us. Motown Writers connects writers to their literary goals and readers to Michigan authors. For writers, we have workshops, conferences, networking opportunities, marketing, and promotions, plus resources available online and offline. We invite writers of all stages to our free writers discussions meetings held every second Saturday except in November at the Barnes & Noble's on Wayne State University campus from 10 a.m. to noon. For readers, we provide literary entertainment, book news, and giveaways online and offline. Check out our website for more information at MotownWriters.com. The Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers annual events offline include the Essence of Motown Literary Conference and Jam, held every second Saturday in November. Also, our literary meet and greet is held in August of every year. Along with that, we have a book club mix and mingle in October. At these events, we invite readers and writers to come together to celebrate the written word, and at most events, they are free to readers. If you're interested in being a guest on our radio show, advertising with us, or promoting your literary project or service, please visit us at MotownWriters.com and click on our contact page for more information. If you're interested in hosting your own show with the Michigan Literary Network, please submit your show proposals to MotownWriters@Yahoo.com. Please share our information with other readers and writers, and we hope you help us continue to strengthen the literary network in Michigan and increase literacy in the Metro Detroit community. For more information, please visit our website at www.MichiganLiteraryNetwork.com.
And you're tuned in to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016. And I'm Andrea Daniel. Today, my guest is writer, author, publisher, and superwoman, Kenya Moss Dime. And here's a little bit about Ms. Dime. She began writing short-form horror in her teens and won several Scholastic Writing Awards for her creative work. Pray For Me, that's P-R-E-Y, the hard-hitting story of a monstrous child-abusing preacher, was her first published work in early 2014, followed by the Amazon best-selling dark romance, A Good Wife. She has since firmly established her place in the horror genre with the Halloween 2014 release of Daymares, as well as appearances in anthologies and other publications. What are her fans most excited about? The upcoming release of Dead Zoned, a novel about a Detroit-based zombie apocalypse with a conspiratorial slant, and Sick XOXO, a collection of love-themed horror sure to be a 2016 favorite. And I want to welcome Ms. Moss Dime to the show. And if you didn't know, let me back up a little bit. February was Women in Horror Month, and Kenya was named one of the Black Women Horror Writers to Read Now by Dirge Magazine. Hello, Ms. Dime.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. Thank you for being here. So let's talk about your books. You've got a lot that we can go through. Let's first go through the Good Wife trilogy. Tell us about the story, and then tell us the story behind the story. In other words, what was the inspiration for that story?
Well, A Good Wife is really about, it's a study of a woman who kind of loses her mind while trying to be everything for her husband. And she's trying to be a good wife, and she kind of loses herself in that process. And the inspiration behind that came about as a result of something I've read in one of my social networking forums. One of the members who had, she had just been released from the hospital, and she came into the forum, and she was telling about how she had just attempted to commit suicide, and she had been in the hospital for a number of days, and she had just came home, and she just kind of wanted to vent about it. And, of course, everyone pressed her for more details. And she attempted suicide because she found out her husband was having an affair with her best friend. Mm-hmm. And during the course of the discussion, it was revealed that she had invited her best friend into their marital bed under his direction. So she's going along with it, you know, trying to please him, and then come to find out that they continued their little affair off to the side without her. And she sank into depression, and it ended with her trying to commit suicide before she got some help. And I thought, this is a really fascinating story, you know, the fact that it's actually happening to someone. And in my book, I added more dramatic, you know, the elements to it, which I can't really say without spoiling it, but I added a lot more to it. But it was a very popular story. It resonated with a lot of people. It's been selected for 4 different book club discussions, and I've attended and participated in 2 of those discussions. And it always generates really lively feedback. You know, people get extremely passionate about their love and hate for those characters in that book. You know, they hate the husband. They hate the best friend. Mm. So it really gets people talking.
Wow. So you took that post and made it into a story. Who are the characters in that book?
Well, the characters are Malcolm, who's the husband, and Alicia, who's the wife, and Tracy, who's the best friend. And because of the response I got from that book, I was prompted to write the follow-up book, which is A Good Wife Tracy story. And it tells the story of the best friend, who is such a polarizing character. You either feel great pity for her because you understand what she's gone through in life that makes her so despicable, or you just completely, deeply hate her. So I wrote Tracy's story completely about her, and it tells how her and Alicia became best friends. They grew up together, and what led to her becoming, you know, the third party in her best friend's marriage.
Whoa. Okay, so let's move on down the book line. You've got Winter's Chill, which had a great opportunity for you. You had the chance to work with author Omar Tyree. How did that happen?
Well, Omar, of course, is the author of Fly Girl, classic urban novel. Another horror author by the name of D.K. Mason came up with the idea of doing this anthology called Winter's Chill, and she invited myself and sent 2 tailors to be a part of it. So originally, she approached Omar Tyree to ask him if he would simply provide us with an introduction for the front of our anthology. And since he and her were connected on social media and they had chatted a little bit about the industry, to our surprise, Omar responded that he would love to be in the anthology and write one of the horror stories because he had been wanting to write in that genre himself. So, of course, we couldn't say no. We were really shocked because he wanted in. It's like we just got a paragraph, you know, and he wanted to be a part of it. So we gave him the lead, and we let him guide us through the process and kind of oversee the organization of the book and, you know, the editing. And it was a real learning experience.
I guess it was. Wow, that was great. And congratulations on that hit. So let's go on down. You've got Devil Inside, your medical horror thriller. What was the basis for this particular book?
Well, Devil Inside was actually my contribution to the Winter's Chill anthology, and then I made it available separately as an ebook and paperback. It's about a woman who undergoes cancer treatment, and she is subjected to one of the nastiest chemo drugs that they have. It's called the Red Devil, and that's the nickname for it, Red Devil. And because of that treatment being so toxic and so powerful, she starts to change, and she starts to have some really kind of demonic cravings. And the story was based on my own experience with cancer and the Red Devil, but, of course, I didn't have those cravings that she had. I mean, she was killing the neighbors and the pets, and I didn't do any of that, but I took it and I turned it into this horror story. And it was a lot of fun to write. You know, it was kind of, you know, it was it was my way of kind of getting that out, getting that story out, because I detailed, you know, the reality of it, but also twisted it and turned it into, you know, something kind of fun but horrific at the same time.
Right. You are, I'm seeing here that you are the classic example of a writer's mind. That's what you have, because you can take something that you hear, something that you see, something that happens to you personally, and you can turn it into a story.
Yeah. You're wide variety of things to write about, so you never run out of ideas.
Right. And your books seem to have such a different slant to them, more like psychological horror than a bloodfest. And I understand, Kenya, that some of your readers who weren't usually scary book readers were surprised. They actually enjoyed one of your books that I mentioned earlier and from your bio, Pray For Me. Talk about that.
Well, Pray For Me is it's about a single mother who falls for a charming young preacher at her church. Of course, he's, you know, young, attractive, all the women are after him. And she does not realize that he's not interested in her. He's getting close to her so he can have access to her child. And, of course, that type of thing, it can be a very difficult subject matter, but it's an important, you know, discussion to have. Because in my book, the topic is handled very tastefully and within the context of the story. It's not explicit or graphic when it comes to the abuse of the child. Of course, there's some graphic scenes between the adults, but when it comes to the subject matter, I think it's handled very appropriately. And I had, you know, one reader in particular who messaged me, and she was afraid to read it because of, you know, personal issues with that topic. But she read it, and she enjoyed it, and she was very happy that, you know, she was able to get through it. She said it wasn't what I expected. You know, because sometimes you read things, it's like, oh, you didn't have to write it that way. You know, you have to handle it in a certain way. You don't want to just glorify it or just write it just for titillation. So while Pray For Me is about child abuse, it's within the context of the story. And I think there's a bigger message in there, which is be careful who you let into your life. And, you know, keep an eye on your family and your kids, because everyone that comes into your life, just because they might have this title, you can't just trust them. Well, that's the real story behind that.
Okay, and I think you can, you have an excerpt from Pray For Me that you can read for us.
I do. Are you ready for me to do that now?
I am ready for you to do that now, please.
Okay, I just have a paragraph, and this is from Pray For Me. The church was always filled with lonely, desperate women looking to become the first lady, or just get a taste of what it was like to be the first lady, even if it was just for one night. The reverend could smell the desperation leaking from their pores and floating in a cloud toward the ceiling, mingled with cheap perfume and the odor of the cigarettes they puffed before they exited their cars. He had to continuously pray for strength, pleasures of the flesh. After all, he was just a man. He was simply a messenger of God, and his flesh had urges like any other man. It was only by constant prayer and meditation that he was able to keep from violating so many of the women who bowed before him. If they only knew how difficult the struggle, they would be very afraid. Not only afraid, but they would be shocked to discover that his cravings were not for the tenderness of their thighs, nor the curve of their asses. Truthfully, they had very little to offer him outside of an alibi, but he had to keep up the appearance by keeping them aroused and trembling in their private fantasies. Let them keep believing that they had a chance. It provided him with the perfect cover for his true desires.
Wow. And did that come from a real life story or real life experience, or was this all from Kenya Moss Dime's brain?
Well, you know what? It came from a little bit of the stuff you hear in the news. You know, and I'm a news junkie. I read probably too much news. I read everybody's news all over the place. There's always stories in the news about, you know, everyone really doing wrong. I don't want to just target pastors, but it was specifically a lot of stories of, you know, pastors getting caught up doing the wrong thing. So it was a little bit of a lot of people. And then, you know, I wanted to focus on the idea that sometimes people think that if you're a pastor, you can do no wrong, and they kind of let their guard down. So it's based on real-life stories for someone, you know, not my personal experience, but definitely, you know, it happens to some people out there.
Right. And what is it about horror that you love so much, and why have you made it your genre of choice? Because you are deep into it.
I am. You know what? The darker stuff has always been my favorite. Even as a child, I always loved Alfred Hitchcock Theater, you know, Light Gallery, the movie Blackula. You know, I was never really into the princess fairy tale, romantic type of entertainment. I was always drawn to the monsters and witches. So I write thrillers and, you know, mysteries. Then, even though A Good Wife and Tracy Story, they're considered urban romance, they're still very twisted. You know, there's no happy endings. So I don't really know why. It's just, it's more exciting for me. And I think it's a lot more fun to write, you know, because there's really no rules. You know, how can you can't say something's unrealistic because it's horror, it's fantasy.
Right.
You know, if you're writing romance, then you got guidelines. You can't have the person just turn into something else because, of course, they're human. That wouldn't happen. But if I'm writing a horror story, there's no limits. You can't tell me something is unrealistic. It's all unrealistic.
Right. Right. That is such a good point. And so let's get into something else. There's on your website, there is a free digital read called Patchwork, and I understand that's one of the first stories you published nearly 30 years ago?
Well, actually, I wrote it when I was 20. I typed it on a typewriter. We didn't have computers. and I mailed it. Yeah, that was a labor of love. I mailed it to my English teacher. My English teacher from Pontiac Central High. She was, I think she was still in Pontiac at the time, and I had moved on. And I mailed it to her, snail mail, and she wrote me back, and she loved it, and she kept it. So 30 years later, we were in contact on, you know, email and everything, and I asked her, do you still have that? Because I didn't have it anymore, and that was a paper copy, and I couldn't remember what it said. And she said, "Yeah, I have it. I'm gonna send it to you." And she still had it, the exact paper copy, in the same envelope, and she mailed it back to me. And I looked at it, and by then we have, you know, Amazon, and you can do your own self publishing. And I read it over and, you know, made some tweaks to it because, you know, that was the mind of a 20-year-old, so I tweaked it.
Right.
And I thought, I'm going to upload this as an ebook and just see what happens. And that was the first thing I published on my own. And it was fun. It was fun getting it out there and letting people read it because no one had read it but her. I think I used it in a college class at some point, you know, just to get a grade on it, and then that was it. So that was the first thing I published, and I got some feedback on it. And, that was my first entry into publishing. And that's after that, then I sat down and started writing Pray For Me.
Right. Wow. That must have been such a nostalgic moment to find out that your teacher still had that original envelope with the original typewritten paper.
Yeah, she was amazing. She kept it in her file cabinet. And she moved to Arizona, and she had all of that stuff.
Wow. And it moved with her. That is so interesting that she kept that. So let's come back into the current time. And you are working on some new stuff. Tell us about your new work coming up.
Well, I'm working on a story set in Detroit, Dead Zoned, which is a zombie novel. And it's probably going to be one of my most ambitious. I was supposed to have finished it last year. I'm really, you know, I need it to be good, obviously. It has a lot of elements, not only horror, but conspiracy, discrimination. It has some social, moral, and ethical messages beneath all of the zombie attacks. So it's based in Detroit. So I think local readers will enjoy reading a story that's set in streets that they're familiar with. So that's the one I'm working on now. And also Sick XOXO, which, as you mentioned, is a collection of stories that is love-themed horror or horror-themed love, whichever one suits it the best. But, yeah, so that way, you see, there's some romance. It's just got some, you know, some horror tied in there with it, but that's what that one's going to be. It's another collection of short stories.
Okay, and you are going to be wrapping up the Good Wife trilogy, and the final story is going to be from Malcolm's point of view. That's the husband who turned everything upside down.
Yeah, when I wrote Tracy's story, I thought that would be the end of it. I thought, okay, I'm done with this, but I get people emailing me all the time asking, they want more, because there's a specific point at the end of the book where one of the characters made a statement about closure, because Tracy, you know, confronted her and, you know, said she needed closure, and Alicia pretty much said closure is just an excuse for people to keep things going. You know, you don't need closure. But people, now they want to know, what about Malcolm? What is he? We've seen Tracy's story. We've seen the whole thing of how her and Alicia met. Now they want to know more about Malcolm. Why is he such a horrible person? So I thought, okay, let me think on this for a while and start putting an outline together and see if I can do it one more time. And I figure trilogies are nice. You know, it's kind of incomplete. So I'm going to do one more. I'm going to close out that whole set. I'm going to tell Malcolm's story. And that will, I'll be done. I'm going to wrap it up.
Okay, so, are you sure you're going to be done? Because what if, and it's so nice when your readers come back to you and say, well, what about this? And we want more. So how can you be sure it's going to be done?
You know what? You have to let the characters talk to you. You know, the readers is great when they do that. I love it when they do that, when they feel so passionately about it. But if the characters aren't talking to you, you can't force it. And with Tracy's story, when I first started it, it took a year to put that out. I couldn't just turn around and get it out. I had to wait until Tracy really got in my head to where I could, you know, put together a good story. And that's actually my favorite one. Tracy's story is my favorite. So I'm doing the outline for Malcolm's story, and I'm waiting for Malcolm to really jump in there and start moving my fingers on the keyboard and telling me what to say. And when he does, then I know it's going to be ready. It'll be ready when he's in my head and I can't get him out.
Right. Okay. Well, we will be waiting for Malcolm to speak to you.
He's whispering to me right now. He's whispering.
Is he whispering?
In the outline.
Okay.
I'm ready. Yes, he is. I'm ready for him to start yelling at me like, no, do it this way. This is what I got to say. Then I'll know when he's ready.
Okay. Thank you, Malcolm. Keep talking. Get louder and louder. So can you tell everybody where they can purchase your book? Because I know after hearing about this, some people are going to want to be scrambling to get your books.
Well, all our books are available. E-books are available online pretty much everywhere e-books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. Paperbacks are also available. Pretty much the same place online. Some Barnes & Nobles have them in the store. Your local library may have it. You can also request them at your local library. You can also go to my website, which will contain links to all of the places that you can, you know, get them online. If you want to go there and branch out from there, which is kenyamossdine.com.
Okay. And I just want to make sure that people know that Dime is spelled D-Y-M-E. So it's Kenya.
Yes.
KENYAMOSSDYME.
Yes,
so Kenya Moss Dimes, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Andrea. I enjoyed it.
You are so welcome, and we will be in touch, because when your next new thing comes out, we will have you back.
Okay, I would love it. Thank you.
Great. All right, you have a good rest of your night.
Okay, thanks. You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that is all there is for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. I want to again thank our guest, Kenya Moss Dime, for being with us today. Check out her website at kenyamossdime.com. That's D-Y-M-E. And you can also find her on social media. And remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at www.motownwriters.com and on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. to hear more literary good stuff with my guest, Tanisha Johnson, who will talk about her upcoming Red Ink Conference. And just before I close out completely, I would like to thank all the women and the one gentleman who came to the Motown Literary Women's Brunch last Saturday, March 19th. It was a wonderful event. We had about 50 ladies who heard from our panelists. Karen Dumas was the panel moderator. We had Casey Rochetto. We had Anna Lee Clark. We had Onita Jackson. And all these ladies spoke so wonderfully about their writing career. You can see some photos from and get some feedback from the event on the Facebook page, on the Motown Writers Facebook page, as well as the Sylvia Hubbard's Literary World of Sylvia Hubbard's page to see the great and wonderful pictures. And we will be doing the brunch next year. We're looking for it to be an annual event, so hopefully we will get more women to come out. And I must say, it's good when you put together an event and people leave out saying, this event changed my life, and there are many women who said that. So thank you again to everybody that came out. And this has been Andrea Daniel for the Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you out there for listening in. I appreciate you being there, and you have a good rest of your evening. And write some good stories and live a good story. You all take care. Good night.